Welcome to episode number 20 of Sean's Smart Show. Today we are going to be covering a variety of different things. As per usual, we are going to be starting with breaking news inside the world of sports, and then we are going to be diving into the sports teams of Los Angeles, and finally the Miami Open tennis tournament. So the first thing we are going to be talking about has to do with the NBA, the National Basketball Association, and so, as we all know, Philadelphia 76ers rookie point guard Markel Fultz returned to the court in Monday's 123-104 win over the Denver Nuggets in Philadelphia. And there was a mostly positive reaction from the fans in Philly. At one point, the crowd was chanting Fultz's last name, which Fultz didn't initially think much of. He said, quote, "I thought they were saying Nick Fultz," alluding to the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, per the Associated Press. "Then I realized it, and it was pretty dope. These fans are great, and I love them." He finished with 10 points and 8 assists in 14 minutes, which I covered yesterday, and I think it's definitely a solid return considering he missed Philadelphia's last 68 games. And according to NBA.com, only one other player in the shot clock era had 10 points and 8 assists in fewer than 15 minutes. He mentioned also how his comfort level climbed once he got back into in-game action. He said, quote, it was a little bit of excitement and a little bit of just like, I got to help the team. Once I stepped on the floor, it felt great just to be back out there with my brothers. With only 9 games left in the season, there isn't much time for Fultz to find his groove before the playoffs start. But even if he's playing just 15 to 20 minutes a game, he could be a difference maker off the bench for the Sixers in a postseason series, in my opinion. They already had enough to get excited about this year with Joel Embiid staying healthy and Ben Simmons likely winning the Rookie of the Year. Probably, maybe Donovan Mitchell is the other person, but I still think they should give it to Simmons. And his return obviously provides more optimism, in my opinion, for the Philadelphia 76ers and their fan base. Now switching gears here to NFL football. This right here is pretty big. So rumors are obviously continuing to swirl around Odell Beckham's future with the New York Giants, and the LA Rams are lurking as a potential trade partner. This is according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. It would be the latest blockbuster move for a Rams team that has brought aboard a number of high-profile players this offseason, including cornerbacks Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib and defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. Of course, whether Beckham is actually on the trading block remains unclear. There certainly has not been a shortage of reports and rumors on this, in my opinion. You know, there are different reports. There are reports saying that the Giants are not going to trade Odell. There are reports saying that Beckham won't play without a long-term extension, and the Giants are open to a deal, and something actually could go down. As for the Rams, Beckham reportedly, quote, has told 2 Rams players he wants in, according to Gary Myers of the New York Daily News, and the Rams seem interested in adding the dynamic wide receiver. Myers also reported that the Rams are interested in adding Beckham, though he added that the Giants aren't ready to part ways just yet. Beckham obviously wants a lucrative contract extension, one that the Giants perhaps aren't ready to offer. So given that Beckham has threatened to sit if he doesn't get the extension, the Giants are at least willing to listen to the offers to see if anybody offers them everything that they have. The Rams have been aggressive this offseason, so it isn't shocking that they're being linked to Odell. Certainly bringing aboard a talent of Odell's caliber would give Jared Goff an amazing, weapon that's going to only add to his arsenal that already includes Todd Gurley, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp. But if the Giants feel they can come to terms with Beckham and without the relationship, it's hard to imagine why they would deal a 25-year-old superstar who's already a top-5 player at a key position, especially with Eli Manning's career coming to a close pretty soon. And even if the Giants were deciding to completely rebuild around a rookie quarterback this year, keeping Beckham would still make sense for the Giants. Keeping that type of weapon, to ease the transition for a rookie signal caller would be kind of logical, in my opinion. But anyway, you slice it, keeping Beckham makes more sense for New York than trading him. But as the old cliche goes, where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's enough smoke to suggest the Giants are at least taking some calls and listening to some offers. That's just my own personal opinion. So the AP Associated Press released their All-American teams. So according to John Marshall of the Associated Press,
Trae Young and Marvin Bagley headline the team, and they're joined by DeAndre Ayton of Arizona, Jalen Brunson of Villanova, and Devontae Graham of Kansas. Marshall also noted this is the first time in the 70-year history of AP All-American teams that three freshmen were named to the team. So Trae Young led all Division I players with 27.4 points and 8.7 assists a game, helping Oklahoma reach the NCAA tournament after they went 11-20. DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley both averaged double-doubles this year. The Wildcats star tied for the most double-doubles in the nation with 24, while Bagley was tied for third with 22. Brunson and Graham were named to the AP All-America team after leading their respective schools to number one seeds in the tournament. Brunson led Villanova with 19.2 points, and he's shooting a career-high 41.4% from three-point range. Graham is averaging a career-high 17.2 points, and he's shooting better from the three-point line than inside. Young and Ayton have already declared for the draft. Bagley hasn't yet announced his intentions for next year following Duke's loss in the Elite Eight. Brunson and Graham will meet head-to-head when Villanova and Kansas are going to play in the Final Four on Sunday. That's going to be a great matchup. I think that Villanova is going to take that one personally. Now staying in the world of college basketball. After working under Coach K at Duke since 2011, Jeff Capel is going to get another shot at being a head coach, and he won't have to leave the ACC. Pittsburgh confirmed that Capel's hire on Tuesday after Evan Daniels of 247 Sports first reported the agreement, adding that Capel had agreed to a 7-year contract. Financial terms have not been disclosed yet. He does have previous experience leading a program. He went 79-41 in 4 years at VCU, leading them to an NCAA tournament appearance in 2004, and they missed the big dance in 16 out of 17 seasons prior to Capel's arrival. But they have made the field in 10 out of 15 seasons since he snapped a 7-year drought. In 5 seasons at Oklahoma, he went 96-69 with 2 NCAA tournament appearances. It was highlighted by a 30-6 record during the 8-9 campaign that saw Blake Griffin and the Sooners reach the Elite Eight. He hasn't been a coach since the 2010-11 season. Pittsburgh was a perennial contender throughout Jamie Dixon's 13-year tenure. However, under Kevin Stallings, the past 2 years, the program hit rock bottom, in my opinion, or at least, pretty close to it. They went 24-41 under Stallings, and their 8-24 record, which included 0-18 in ACC play, this season was the worst in terms of winning percentage in 51 years. Capel has obviously proved he can be successful as a head coach, and while he may not have been able to sustain success at either of his previous stops, Pittsburgh believes he can get the program back on track, and I think that they can as well. So now switching gears here to NFL football. Much to the delight of a lot of football fans, I think, the NFL has unanimously approved changes that will simplify the definition of a catch. So according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, the new catch rule passed by a 32-0 vote. And per NFL.com, here are the new guidelines. So number one is control of the ball. Number two is 2 feet down or another body part. Number three is a football move, such as a third step, reaching or extending for the line to gain, or the ability to perform such an act. After a 2017 season filled with controversial catches or non-catches, highlighted by the reversal of a potential game-winning touchdown in the Patriots versus Steelers Week 15 showdown, Commissioner Roger Goodell made it known in late January on the show The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports 1 that he was, quote, concerned about the confusion surrounding the rule. As a result, the league did research to bring clarity. Under the new rule, the answer to the whole situation with Dez Bryant in 2014, his catch was basically the whole situation was indeed a catch, and it remains to be seen whether the new rule will eliminate all catch-related controversies. But the good news for players and fans is the league admitted it had a problem and took steps to fix it. I think that's a big deal that the league admitted, that there was something that needed to be changed and actually did something about it rather than just talking about it. Now switching gears here, I guess you can call this the NBA. So LiAngelo Ball declared for the 2018 NBA draft on Tuesday, And this is according to Ball's agent, Harrison Gaines. And he told Shams Charania of Yahoo Sports. Charania noted that Ball has already submitted early entry paperwork with the NBA. So after leaving UCLA in December, he played alongside his younger brother, LaMelo Ball, for Vytautas Prienų this season in the Lithuanian Basketball League. After UCLA suspended him because of a shoplifting incident in China, he signed with the Lithuanian team in January. His stay in Lithuania has been productive as he's averaging a league-leading 15.7 points while shooting 45% from beyond the arc. And the 19-year-old reportedly plans to take part in May's pro basketball combine at IMG Academy in Florida in an effort to impress NBA scouts. He was rated as a 3-star recruit coming out of high school, and he was ranked as the number 226 overall player and number 50 shooting guard in the 2017 class. He's obviously going to look to follow in the footsteps of his older brother Lonzo Ball, who plays for the Lakers, obviously. In December, however, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reported that LiAngelo had, quote, no chance at being selected in the 2018 NBA draft. Honestly, I see LiAngelo as a guy that will probably go undrafted, and I think that some team is gonna, you know, give him a workout, and I think he can easily make a G League team. You know, just my own opinion. Staying in the world of NBA basketball, so Dallas Mavericks power forward Dirk Nowitzki told the New York Times' Mark Stein that he intends to play out the remainder of his contract and return to the Mavericks for his 21st NBA season when the 2018-19 season gets underway. He said, quote, as of now, I'm planning to come back. I feel great. I've only missed one game all season. I signed a 2-year contract because I wanted to play two more years, and here we are. The Mavericks declined Nowitzki's $25 million team option for the 17-18 season last June before re-signing him to a new 2-year $10 million contract that includes a $5 million club option for the 18-19 season. Since inking the contract, he has looked sharp, despite assuming, you know, a smaller kind of load. So in 24.8 minutes a game, the fewest he's played since his rookie year, he's averaged 12.2 points and 5.6 rebounds per game on 46% shooting from the field, including 41.9% from three. Should the Mavericks officially bring him back this summer, he will almost, undoubtedly make some moves up on the NBA's all-time scoring list. Entering Tuesday's game against the Sacramento Kings at the Golden 1 Center, Nowitzki, who has 31,139, he's sitting only 280 points behind Will Chamberlain for fifth all-time and 1,153 points shy of Michael Jordan's fourth-place mark. I wish Dirk nothing but success. Now switching gears to a bit of a sensitive topic to the NFL. Shabrika Bailey, the girlfriend of Trevon Boykin, accused the former Seahawks QB of assaulting her, choking her, and breaking her jaw after an argument between the couple. The Seahawks reportedly cut Boykin on Tuesday, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN.com, following the report of domestic violence. You pay for your actions, you know. Now switching gears back to the whole situation with Odell Beckham and the Giants. So, general manager of the Giants, Dave Gettleman, addressed multiple topics about Odell on Tuesday. So, he spoke to reporters at the NFL's annual owner meetings in Orlando. He was, quote, livid about trade speculation involving Beckham, and there's been no indication from Beckham's camp that he won't play next year without a new contract. And according to Ralph Vicciano of SNY.TV, Gettleman said the Giants need to, quote, focus on eliminating internal and external distractions, but added, he was, quote, not going there when asked if he wanted Beckham to remain on the team. Bottom line is, as Ernie taught us, you don't quit on talent. And that's what he said when he was asked if Beckham can be part of the solution in New York. When he was asked about the video released earlier this month that I talked about yesterday, he joked that he only saw the pizza, which was pretty funny. But as I said earlier, Giants owner John Mara told reporters at the NFL meetings that no player on the roster is untouchable in trade talks. According to Kimberly Jones of NFL Network, though, the Giants aren't shopping Beckham, and a trade probably won't happen. So this is, you know, you can take either side. You never know. Like, some reports say he's going to be traded. Some say he's not. Personally, I don't think he's going to be traded, even though it would be awesome to have him on my LA Rams. I just don't see why New York wants to trade him, you know. As much of a distraction that he is, I think that he exceeds that by far with the talent that he brings and what he brings to the table on the football field. Now switching gears back to college basketball here. The Xavier Musketeers are reportedly losing their winningest coach in program history, and their loss is the Louisville Cardinals' gain. According to Jeff Goodman of ESPN, Chris Mack agreed to a 7-year deal worth roughly $4 million a year to become Louisville's new head coach on Tuesday. The idea that Mack would leave Xavier for Louisville following the 2017-18 season is not new. Jeff Greer of the Louisville Courier Journal reported he scheduled a meeting with Louisville to discuss becoming its head coach after the Cardinals and Musketeers seasons ended. Greer noted, quote, Mack had not been considered the top coach or has long been considered the top coach on Louisville's list, and pointed to the fact that the coach's wife, Christy, went to high school in the Louisville area. The consistent success he established in his 9 seasons at Xavier put him on the Cardinals' radar, in my opinion. I mean, that what else could it be? He led Xavier to the NCAA tournament 8 times, accumulating a total record of 215-97. His teams finished with fewer than 20 wins only once in 2012-2013. And he captured 2 Atlantic 10 regular season championships and a Big East championship during his tenure. He also found some postseason success with 3 Sweet 16 appearances and 1 Elite 8 appearance with Xavier, although he failed to, you know, parlay the first number 1 seed in school history into anything more than a second round exit when they lost to Florida State in this year's tournament. He's going to be looking to do more than just replicate his on-court success from Xavier at Louisville, considering that Louisville has been under the spotlight for definitely the wrong reasons in recent years, and they definitely could use some positive headlines. But I think Dave Paget did a pretty good job with Louisville this year. It's still a great move for Louisville, in my opinion. Switching gears back to the NFL. The NFL owners passed a rule regarding targeting on Tuesday. According to Mark Mask of the Washington Post, the new rule states that players will be penalized 15 yards if they lower their helmets to initiate contact. Officials will reportedly be able to eject players if they deem the foul is severe enough. The initial interpretation of the rule states officials will not review the fouls, but that is subject to change in case the league wants to change it. Brian McCarthy of the NFL's Public Relations Department said on, relayed the exact wording of the rule on Twitter. So he said, it is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. The player may be disqualified. Applies to any player anywhere on the field. The player may be disqualified. According to Atlanta Falcons president, this is a pretty significant change. I like this move as well by the NFL. Actually, there's another story about Odell Beckham Jr. that I wanted to talk about. And so the Giants are not actively trying to trade wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. And this was stated by co-owner John Mara on Tuesday. So this is the latest development. He said, quote, he's not on the block. Is that going to stop clubs from possibly calling us? No, but he's not on the block. We're not shopping him around. According to Ralph Ficciano, Mara added he wants Beckham, quote, to be a Giant, but acknowledged he, quote, can't sit here and tell you that it is 100% guaranteed that's going to happen. Mara's comments on Tuesday somewhat mirror what he said Sunday at the NFL owners meeting, but he had at least left the door open for the team to deal with 3-time Pro Bowler, and I covered that. So that's the latest news in terms of Odell Beckham. Now, this is a pretty big story in the NFL. So officials from the New England Patriots spoke with free agent quarterback Johnny Manziel before and after Texas A&M's Pro Day on Tuesday. This was reported by Karen Gregian of the Boston Herald. Manziel threw to Texas A&M receivers during the event, which came less than a week after he took part in the University of San Diego's Pro Day. ESPN.com's Eric D. Williams reported the Patriots were one of 13 NFL teams at the Pro Day on Thursday. Taylor Bisciotti of NFL Network shared a clip of Manziel throwing to Christian Kirk from the Texas A&M Aggies. NFL.com's Gil Brandt spoke to a scout in attendance who said Manziel, quote, looked better than he did in 2014 when he was entering the league. And according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, the Patriots weren't the only team to speak with Manziel. He elaborated on what the event means for Manziel, in terms of his hopes for a comeback. So this is pretty cool. But it wouldn't be all surprising if the Patriots took a chance on Manziel. A move that it would be pretty similar to the chance they gave Tim Tebow in June of 2013. The team cut Tebow that September after he threw for 144 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions during the pro season. Tom Brady will obviously be the starter for the Patriots in 2014, with Brian Hoyer locked in as the backup, even though I think Johnny Manziel is better than Brian Hoyer. There's only two QBs on the roster, so it makes sense for New England to invite Manziel to training camp as an option for the practice squad. But as Rappaport said, Manziel still has a number of steps to take before he earns a training camp invite, let alone an NFL contract. Now switching gears to NBA basketball, there's some stories here. So former San Antonio's first star, Sean Elliott, doesn't believe there's any bad blood between Greg Popovich and Kawhi Leonard. He spoke to TMZ Sports and he said he has no reason to think Leonard isn't happy with the Spurs. He said, quote, I think he's really happy in San Antonio. The city's been good to him. The organization's been great to him. He has a great relationship with Pop. He's played in only 9 games, as I've said multiple times already. So it should be interesting how this plays out. Now, another story in the NBA. This is pretty huge right here. The Golden State Warriors are finally getting somewhat healthy. So Warriors head coach Steve Kerr told reporters on Tuesday that Kevin Durant and Draymond Green are both going to return on Thursday night against the Milwaukee Bucks. Durant confirmed, telling ESPN.com's Chris Haynes, quote, you can tell them I'm playing Thursday. He missed his 6th straight game on Tuesday due to a rib injury, and Draymond missed his 3rd straight due to an illness. The Warriors have resembled a G League team more than a title contender as of late, since KD, Draymond, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry were all out with injuries. As I reported earlier, Curry is expected to be out through the first round of the playoffs with a grade 2 MCL sprain, while Thompson is close to a return as well, like Klay and KD, excuse me, like Draymond and KD with a fractured thumb. So Golden State has lost 5 of its last 8 games heading into Tuesday night. Which is basically guarantees that Houston is going to keep the first seed in the East. So Steve Kerr said, quote, we can overcome this. We just got to be able to hold down the fort and understand that this is all part of the journey. The multitude of absences have helped Quinn Cook emerge as an effective rotation piece. He's bounced around the league since going undrafted out of Duke in 2015, but he's scored double figures in each of the last 6 games. Nevertheless, it'll be great for the Warriors to have 2 of their 4 All-Stars back on the floor. So now we're going to be covering the LA sports as we usually do, starting with the Los Angeles Lakers, like usual. They did not play today, but they play tomorrow in Los Angeles at 7:30 p.m. against the Dallas Mavericks. Isaiah Thomas is still out with a hip injury. He will not play tomorrow. Now the LA Clippers, the other basketball team in Los Angeles, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks today by a score of 105-98. That was a nationally televised game. Congrats to the Clippers. That was a good win. So they improved to 40-34, and the Bucks fall to 39-35. The Clippers move up to 9th in the Western Conference as well. And the Clippers' next game is tomorrow at 7 p.m. in Phoenix, Arizona, against the Phoenix Suns. And that game will be broadcasted live locally on Prime Ticket. Now the LA Dodgers, they played their final game of spring training today. They beat the Los Angeles Angels by a score of 4-3. They finished spring training with a record of 17-15, and the Angels finished with a record of 13-20. Not a great sign for the Angels. So the Dodgers' first game of the season is on Thursday in 2 days. I'm so excited for that. It's at 4:10 p.m. against the San Francisco Giants. The game is going to be broadcasted on ESPN. Let's go Dodgers. Bleed blue, baby. Now, as for the Angels, Obviously, they lost to the Dodgers, as I just said. Their first game is Thursday, March 29th as well at 1:05 p.m. against the Oakland Athletics in Oakland, California. And the game will be broadcasted locally on Fox Sports West. Now, the LA Kings, they didn't play today. They play tomorrow in Phoenix, Arizona. Excuse me, they play in Los Angeles against the Arizona Coyotes at 7:30 p.m. The Kings moved up to third in the Pacific Division as well, as the Anaheim Ducks lost to the Vancouver Canucks by a score of 4-1. The Ducks fall to 39-25-13, and the Canucks improved to 28-40-9. The Ducks' next game is against the Kings on Friday, March 30th at 7 p.m. in Anaheim, and it'll be broadcasted on Fox Sports West as well as Prime Ticket. As I keep saying, also the LA Galaxy's next game is Saturday, March 31st against the LAFC at 12 p.m. Now we're going to be covering the Miami Open. And yeah, there were some great matches today. So we're going to start on the women's side. So only two matches on the women's side. Unseeded wildcard Victoria Azarenka beat the number 5 seed Carolina Pliskova 7-5-6-3. So Azarenka has took out a lot of seeded players in this tournament. I can't say that I expected this. I expected her to do well in the tournament, but I didn't expect her to be doing this well. And in a major upset, number 13 seed American Sloane Stephens beat the number 10 seed German Angelique Kerber 6-1-6-2. I can't say that I'm too surprised that Sloane Stephens won the match, but I am surprised at how she won the match by a score of 6-1-6-2. That's just, you know, that's huge. So there were a lot of men's matches today, so I'm going to start with this one. So Francis Tiafoe beat Thomas Burdick 7-6 in the third set. The exact score was 6-7, 6-2, 7-6. They started playing yesterday, but they finished today because of a rain delay. So then Tiafoe played the number 6 seed Kevin Anderson later, and he lost 6-7, 4-6. Then number 4 seed Alexander Zverev beat Nick Kyrgios 6-4, 6-4 in a very close match. It could have went either way. Zverev just won the important games. Then in another very close match, 29 seed Borna Coric beat Denis Shapovalov 7-6, 4-6, 6-4. Again, that one could have also gone either way. Congrats to Coric. I think most people expected Shapovalov to take him, but he proved people wrong. Now, in a match that was not close at all, Pablo Carreño Busta beat fellow Spaniard Fernando Verdasco 6-0, 6-3. Then 20 seed Milos Raonic took care of Jeremy Chardy 6-3, 6-4. 5 seed Juan Martín Del Potro took care of 22 seed Filip Krajinovic 6-4, 6-2. And in a major upset, number 14 seed American John Isner beat the 2 seed Marin Cilic 7-6, 6-3. Great win for John Isner. Then Hyun Chung beat Jason Sousa 6-4, 6-3, took care of him soundly. Congrats to Chung. There were no men's doubles matches today whatsoever. There were two women's doubles matches. Elena Vesnina and Ekaterina Makarova beat Kachanov and Kudryavtseva 6-2, 6-4. And in a crazy match, Siniakova and Krejcikova, the 6 seeds, beat Chan and Chan, the 2 seeds, 2-6, 6-4, 13-11. So for those of you wondering what the 13-11 means, so in the doubles matches in these tournaments, since a lot of players that play doubles are playing singles as well, if each team wins a set, instead of playing another set, they play, you know, basically a tiebreaker. So it's just first to 10 points, just 10 points straight up. And but if it's like, let's say 9-9 or 10-10, then if it's 9-9, they play to 11, 10-10, they play to 12. So you have to win by 2. So these guys won 13-11. Congrats to them. They're, you know, into the semifinals. And that's all we have for this episode of Sean's Sports Show. Thank you to everybody that's listened. We're gonna have a couple of special guests sooner rather than later. Stay tuned for that. I'll be announcing those on my social media pages. And yeah, all the other episodes, as per usual, are on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, and Google Play. I'm trying to get them on YouTube and Spotify as well. And yeah, that's it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. We out.